Under the sun a lot, interchanging it with under the heaven throughout Ecclesiastes. And the most important season, point two, season of everlasting life under the sun. Point one, seasons of life under the sun, S-U-N. Most scholars agree this is Solomon in his old age. Need your specs. Oh, I understand. I know how you feel. He's in his old age, wisest man to ever be and ever will be. Minister Duck taught us about how he became king. He humbled himself before God. He was asking a dream, whatever he wanted, by God. And he didn't ask for riches. He asked for wisdom and discernment to lead the people of God. And God was pleased. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12, it reads, "Behold, I have done according to thy works. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee." Solomon observed life over the course of those years, and he applied himself to wisdom. Here we see some of the observations where he sees life like a pendulum. Y'all know those old clocks with those pendulums that swing back and forth to count the time? I can see him remembering the story where Mama told him, Bathsheba, about being born after the death of a first child with David. Could also see him thinking about Daddy King David passing away right after David has anointed him as the new king. We see the Lord puts in his spirit to write in verse 2 of Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to be born and a time to die. I see him remembering back in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 5 and 6, I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs and to water groves of flourishing trees. We could see Solomon had plenty of experience planting gardens and tending to those gardens. And he knew how to plant stuff. The Spirit leads him to write in verse 2, there's a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, he's also heard many of his father's testimonies, probably read some of his psalms. There's one particular one about a Philistine giant he was up against as a young man. This Goliath threatened the people of God and cursed God, but Solomon remembers Pops taking that slingshot and one stone and sinking that one stone into his skull. Solomon realizes in verse 3 there's a time to kill, and there's a purpose and a purpose to protect the people and the kingdom. But I can also see Daddy David being real with his son about not just the shining moments, but testifying about being an adulterer, a murderer, a sinful man. I can see him sharing with the future king how good God is to forgive, to be able to take a sin-sick soul and heal his brokenness. Solomon then pens in that same verse 3, there's a time to heal. And so on and so forth, we continue to see wisdom pour out. And he meditates on the seasons of life under the sun, we continue in these verses to see a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, which is to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. That's something I like to do. I like to keep silence if everybody knows me, but then here's a time to speak. There's also a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Solomon sees there's this constant cycle with life under the sun. That pendulum swinging back and forth to advance time on that old clock, going from one extreme to the other, beginning to end, back and back again, but time still moving forward. I see him wondering in the scriptures, what in the world does all this mean? What's the point? You see in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 14, I have seen, he says, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun here on this earth. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. But here in chapter 3, I believe he also sees the hand of God meeting the hands of man, a meeting of God's sovereign will with man's free will, where man must choose with purpose of heart to carry out his will at an appointed time. Verse 1 starts off with this time. In the Hebrew, that word is zeman, a set time, an appointed time, an occasion, and a season. This is the period of time already allotted for an occasion or a set of events. Now, I thought about that over the years, how I've gained an appreciation for gardening after being over here in Philly and hearing the brothers talk about, you know, their gardens. And I had a brother so into me, Brother Jarvis, used to work in the audio video ministry with he helped me do my first landscaping at my previous house and shared wisdom with me. Also being around Farmer Phil, Mr. Fyro Fresh Farms, I gleaned some more wisdom, and I started dabbling in it a little bit. And I remember many times my pops would be out there filling the ground for his garden with all kinds of stuff, tomato plants, bell peppers, cantaloupe. My mom would be out there in the dirt caring for her flowers. I didn't understand why at the time. I used to see Dad and Mom do these things, and but now I found I could be out there all day. I see how God put in Adam to tend and keep the Garden of Eden. I've learned something about seasons and times, that when the conditions are right, the fruit, the flower, the bloom starts to produce. It fulfills its purpose and desire to produce a rose or an apple or a magnolia or whatever it was designed and purposed for. Wow, 55 minutes, wow. When we moved at the end of November last year, we moved into another house. Lord blessed us to get a little bit more space, and hallelujah for that. I purchased some plants for those house, and you know, crepe myrtle trees and roses and a palm tree and some other varieties of things. I bought trees and evergreens, and I got them at a huge discount. You know why? This was in November. Because when you looked at those plants, they were barren. They looked dead. Brown all over, or no leaves at all, no fruit. Brown branches, nobody wanted those things at that time. But I remembered some wisdom. Many plants and trees go dormant when it's not their season. Now these plants have the ability to produce beautiful flowers and roses and greenery, but the time had not come yet. Are any of you feeling unproductive right now? Like you're not able to produce and feeling not purposeful? Do you feel like those plants where part of you has died or never was alive? Have you lost your leaves, not feeling like you're living a fruitful and blessed life? Check during this season for a few things. It's what we're doing lining up with his purpose. If it ain't in his word, you might say this person might be my wife, but if she's already married, what does the Lord say about adultery? you know, was not yours, he ain't going to give it to you. Or he's going to be my husband, doesn't have a job, no purpose, no vision, no salvation. The word says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's why we come here, to get instructed, to learn what's correct. That's why, and we wonder why God didn't make this happen or that happen. Don't expect to get grapes out of weeds or roses out of thorny hedges. Another thing is, it just may not be your season. These plants had to lose their leaves. Part of it had to die off, like I said. It had to go through some pain and some suffering, in a sense. Does that kind of connect with our lives sometimes? They were destined to produce, but not yet, not until it has its fruitful season. Everything was built into the seed from the beginning, but the season wasn't yet. It wasn't until that switch takes place from winter to spring. We heard Pastor say Sunday, when time meets destiny. And spring came for my plants, and now summer is coming upon us. They are definitely doing their things. I'm seeing greenery, I'm seeing roses. I'm seeing fruit. Another thing I had to do when I got those plants, I had to plant them in fertile soil. You need to be planted in fertile soil, along with being mindful of them having the necessary light and water. I had to get those plants rooted firmly in some nutritious ground, plenty of light, access to that, access to light and rain or water source. Continually needed nourishment. Maybe even add some fertilizer or Miracle-Gro from time to time. Where do you get your nourishment from for your soul? Please don't tell me you're like Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, where he did everything under the sun but found no satisfaction. Verse 10 in chapter 2 says, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed, I looked back, I observed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve. Everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. I submit to you, the nutrition for a barren, dead soul is to take root in Jesus Christ. His word, salvation, and all of his promises that come with it. He nourishes our very souls through every season. We need to be planted in fertile soil, have light on us, have water periodically, that God knows his creation and what each needs, and Jesus is that living water. He's the light of the world. In a practical sense, we know how our pastor has taught us. That means once we're planted, we get spiritual nutrition by studying his word, reading the word of God, the Bible, coming to Bible study, or other Bible studies. In your own home, with your family. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We also need to have prayer. We need to talk to the Lord. Matthew chapter 21, and verse 22 says, in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You want to receive that nourishment. You just got to ask him. You might not know when the rain will come or the sun will shine, but believe me, it's coming if you ask. Be an active part An active part of a Bible-believing church is another thing. Bible-teaching church, centered around Jesus Christ with a healthy balance of spirit and truth, just like Philadelphia. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We need to stay connected. Lift one another up. We also got to worship the Lord and for who he is and what you believe he will do. And another thing is to stay away from the weeds, the rocks, and the unproductive areas. These unproductive areas, these influences, their distractions, idols that keep us from being fertile and fruitful. It could be people, that friend that complains about everything, that spouse, parent, or immature believer that never encourages or only sees your barrenness. And all they focus on is that. You never heard here, like Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23, the word spoken in due season, how good it is. Love of things can also, of course, be an idol, you know, not putting them over God. And, you know, these are things that rust and fade away. These things can choke you unless you have the helmet of salvation and the belt of truth. Many life events are out of our control, just like seasons. We can't control when fall, winter, summer, and spring come, but we sure can be planted firmly. Take root. When the storms of summer come or when the hard cold of winter is upon us, we can still survive. Amen. Sometimes we look down upon rain at times, but don't you know that how important rain is in the life cycle? We think about what life would be if we never had rain. If you have sunshine all the time with no rain, things dry out. If you have too much rain and not enough sunshine, it basically drowns. God has set a balance for life. The same with our spiritual man. God gives us what we need when those good times happen in our lives, or what we consider good times. But he balances with a little other stuff, you know, that's not so good. Some things won't be produced without struggle, without challenge. We have so many people that are getting beat down in life these days. There's a prince of this world, and he's not on God's side. He's attacking. You know, whether it's struggles on the job, in your marriage, your home, your children, your body, your ministry, the pendulum is swinging back and forth. Sometimes it's swinging in the bad direction, sometimes in the other direction. But just hold on. Give it time. It'll swing back. How many great hymns and songs came out of heartache and pain? How many new and great businesses were birthed after failures? Churches, callings, men and women of God changing their ways and turning their life around after a life and death experience. This takes me to the second part of chapter 3, verse 1. That second phrase, Solomon is a time to every purpose under the heaven. That time is the Hebrew eighth, ETH. Time, experiences, fortunes, occurrence, occasions. But he uses that, what's interesting to me, along with the Hebrew word, I may not be saying this right, kaifet, which is delight, pleasure, desire, longing, the good pleasure, that in which one takes delight. In that second part, I saw him establish a relationship between the events that take place in this life and purpose and our desires. God's divine purpose and man's desire of heart have to meet up. look at one instance where it's time to give, whether to the church or to somebody else. What does the Lord say? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful, delightful giver. When we see there is a time for other things, like a time to kill and a time to love and a time to hate, we shouldn't do those things whenever we feel like it. How many people do we have in prison right now because they didn't know when it was time? When it was time to kill, time to get, time to lose. How many have committed adultery and fornication, not knowing a time to love? Timing for love is so important that Solomon and his love speak of it in three times in the Song of Solomon. Don't awaken love before it's what? Time. Look at the sin in your life, past or present. I bet you'll find there's a correlation with you committing sin and not hating what God hates. That was the time to hate. And when we don't hate what God hates, in dangerous territory, you probably hate the word of God at that time. It wasn't purposed in your heart. Solomon he couldn't list everything that falls under here, because it says there's a time for everything. I can't hit on everything tonight, but the principle is there for us to hold on to. You don't see him list salvation specifically, but we know it falls under this category. A time for every purpose under heaven. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. There's a wonderful purpose in salvation, because we are spiritually dead until God brings us to a point in time where we must realize how wretched we are and how much we need him to make us new. Every day, occasions and opportunities arise for us to carry out God's will. We see here, we should delight in time, delight in doing his will at appointed times. We should take delight and pleasure in each of these times and seasons. But no matter what the season, we need to strive to apply God's word at every occasion. Well, Brother Joseph, what about, am I supposed to take delight and see purpose? How do I do that in occasions of death, sickness, when I lose a job? You know, things that produce weeping and mourning and times of struggle. The word says yes. Joyous moments are wonderful to see, like the birth of new life and healing for our sicknesses and new job, new house, new wife, new husband. Things that produce laughing and dancing. But what about this other stuff? We have to be planted and rooted in Christ for these things to really be blessings and not curses, no matter if it's good or bad. Because the same thing that can be a blessing can be a curse, depending on if God is in it or not. It all comes down to his being in its purpose in Christ. Psalm 1:1-3 said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Even during seasons of struggle, God knows these times get our attention and bring our hearts to dig deeper. Ecclesiastes 7, chapter 7, verse 2, Solomon also shares, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for death is the destiny of everyone. The living shall take this to heart. Frustration is better than laughter. And this is the NIV version. Because of a sad face. Sad face is good. Because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. But the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. God is more interested in your purpose than your pleasure. God does not, he does some mighty work, mighty good work in the struggle. Get married. You will find yourself having to find a balance between pleasure and purpose. Can't be a fairy tale and a happily ever after like in the movies. That's the world. Chances are you're looking for everything to be pleasurable because that's selfishness in you. It's not a fun process, but in a God-ordained relationship, he will use marriage to tear down your flesh and pride that's built up. Be careful always focusing on what the other person is not doing. What is he purposing for you to do in this season? You may not be actually doing anything wrong, but can you pray? Can you fast? Trust God until the fruit shows up, until it comes, until that season. Another little point I had was appointed time. I want to submit to you that God is, always was, will always be. He is time. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. We know he was there in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. Throughout each book, and we know he'll be there all the way through to Revelations. He has control over appointed time and seasons in our lives. Now, how many of us have set an alarm before? You know, that specific time that we set to do a particular thing or purpose, and, you know, we try to look ahead and we say we want to take care of something at this particular time. We need a little help. We want to make sure it's done. You set that alarm. And usually it's in the context of, you know, we need to wake up in the morning, get up, go to work. It's time to make it happen. It's time to go get it. Because if you don't, you miss that appointment and everything connected to it, might be some suffering. You know? God has an alarm clock for our lives. With set appointed times. He knew when it was time for Brother Brent to be born, or time for Malvo to be a part of the family of God, or time for you to meet your good thing. You say, I brought it to you, but what you gonna do? Make that my wife. Time for him to be a part of the local church family. And, you know, one day, I know it'll be my time to meet the Lord. Hallelujah. That's one thing I'm looking forward to. Because I know this stuff, this flesh ain't going to last. I don't want to stay here either. So let's take a look. I came in my meditation, thought about a woman of God who came to an appointed time and had to make a choice whether to fulfill God's purpose or not. All of you are already probably in the spirit and thinking, this woman of God, she had a season of being low and high. She went from poverty to the palace. She went from being silent to having to speak. She was faced with life or death. It was Esther that was raised by her cousin Mordecai, since her father and mother weren't there. Her people were all dependents of the exiled Hebrews from Jerusalem in this foreign land. Her cousin had raised her at that time to always keep silent about who she was and where she came from. Many didn't respond kindly to her kind of people. That sound familiar? She is in the king's palace at some point, eventually. Had all she could ever want or need. If she wanted to, she could have just sat back and said, I have it made. And not worry about anybody else. But in Esther chapter 3, there was a decree that went out. And the decree was to destroy all her Hebrew people, including, which includes herself. In Esther chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, King James says, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, or in other translation, King Xerxes, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse, they're different from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business. To bring it to the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it pleaseth good to thee. This was a situation where her people were in trouble. Should she keep silent? She was told by Mordecai to always keep silent. That was a time, a season to keep silent. But her God-fearing cousin had all he had always encouraged her to do that. Excuse me. She could have said, I'm good. But after being silent for so long, could this be an appointed time to speak? The man who raised her, he left no doubt. There was an alarm sounded by Mordecai, her cousin. The alarm to get up and go was in Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. We see the NLT says, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews, Hebrews, are killed. You a Hebrew too? 1 ounce of, you know. If you keep quiet at this time, at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? She was planted there for a purpose. You know, up until this time, as I've said already, Mordecai told her to keep silent about her nationality and her people. But now is the time for Esther to speak, to speak up, to stand up and not sit down. Are you ready for your appointment? Are you ready to get going when God makes the alarm clock go off? I mean, this is a tragic circumstance that they're faced with. Now, our people are up against annihilation. But I tell you, you never want to miss God's appointment by staying asleep, not paying attention. You might miss out on blessings. Because I tell you, when she did speak, and she did speak up, the enemy was wiped out. The blessings of the people were multiplied. She was firmly planted in her purpose. She could see her role in God's plan and salvation for the Hebrews. There was deliverance that came for all those people. Now, what else does this teach us? It also shows us that we shouldn't be too comfortable in whatever time or season we're in. Be ready to get up and go at God's appointed time. Like you hear that alarm in the morning when you got to go to work. Don't expect a season to be around forever. A season is just that. It's a period. She could have said no, but God was ready for her to do. Whether it was her doing it or whether he had to get a donkey to speak, which he can do if you know your Bible. God had the angel Gabriel make Zechariah not be able to speak when he didn't believe the appointed time God said for he and his wife to have a child. Don't lean to your own understanding. Also, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Mordecai told her not to think. Don't rationalize and go against what God is saying. Don't think you will escape because you are now in the palace. She was a Jew, a Hebrew, whether in the palace or not. Enemy had her in the targets. But she made sure both her and Mordecai to acknowledge him. That acknowledge in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6, well, 6, that acknowledge means to know and recognize him. You got to believe he's in a situation, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the struggle is, he will do what he says he will do. His promises are yes and amen. They hold true. Don't be afraid of God's purpose in the season, even if it seems like a struggle. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Although they both had a human reaction, and that's understandable, because at one point, they both responded to the situation initially. Mordecai tore his clothes, and that was a cultural thing at the time to express dissatisfaction and grief. The scripture says Esther was grieved. You know, we ought to be angry, but sin not. It's a human response to struggle with a situation and unfortunate circumstances. You know, life can, I'm 47 years old now, and I've seen life throw some curveballs, some things that can knock you off your feet that come out of nowhere. But one thing they did do when faced with this circumstance and situation, they fasted and they prayed for 3 days. They stayed connected to the root. they were planted in fertile soil. Despite the wind and the storm around them, they encouraged each other through the struggle. Then after 3 days, Esther said, "Let's do this. If I perish, I will perish." I look at old Job. Job had a season of blooming, much wealth and blessings, but he also had a big season of loss, season of being dormant, couldn't bear fruit. He entered a season where he lost all he had, family, wealth. His wife was one of those amongst the weeds. She told him basically to curse God and die. But what did he do? Now, he tore his clothes, too, just like Mordecai did. These were terrible things that happened. But in the process of grieving, that man fell to the ground. And he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." Though he had his struggles, he stayed in the Lord. He stayed rooted. Turn to your neighbor, please, and say, "Keep your roots." I discern after our pastor declared Sunday, some of our school of Hebrews people may be reeling after the news of a switch taking place. For some, it may sound disappointing and disheartening, but if you are connected to the root and planted, you know, tear your clothes if you got to. Cry out to God. Do whatever you have to do, but trust him. Don't lean to your own understanding. Know God, and that this time is part of this season of transition, process of growth and purpose. We've seen it all the time here in Philly. Trust your God with your pastor. I want to submit to you that we should be ready in every season of life until, which is under the sun, for God to do a work. It doesn't matter where you start in the season, because the word says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, King James says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Whether good or bad, strive for purpose and desire to please the Lord. My final point, hallelujah, season of life, everlasting life under the sun. With life under the sun, S-U-N, each time and season has an opposite that Solomon felt shows the futility of life here. It's unlasting, always changing. But there's a time for salvation, as we talked about. Great thing about that time is when Jesus comes into your heart, you enter a time and a season that never ends. A time to be born again, but never die. A time to be planted in the family of God, where no man can pluck you out. A time when the enemy is slayed and there is healing of your soul. No more drugs, no more daddy issues, mama issues. No more chains, no more brokenness. What was dead has come to life. What was torn down is built up. You're in the season of fruitfulness and having the fruit of the Spirit. Excuse me. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, forbearance, kindness," forbearance, which is long-suffering, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now is the appointed time to give him your life, if you haven't done it yet. Please, like Nike says it best, just do it. He won't leave you or forsake you. You will be entering the best time of your life under the sun, under the sun, but because your life is under the son. Come to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I heard a baby on the microphone just now. That was David? David felt like singing after that word, amen? Out of the mouth of babes, he had perfected praise. I had to look for Omar, amen, but it was David, amen? And I want to tell you, there is a time to sing, amen? There is a time to praise him, amen? Bible says that the angels rejoice in the presence of the Lord over one sinner. One sinner, amen, who comes to Jesus and gives their life to the Lord, amen. I want to tell you that word was for you, amen. That word was for you, amen. That word, I'm telling you, it was so rich, amen. It was so rich, amen. Hallelujah. And you gotta learn to love the word, amen. Don't be looking for no, you know, colorful suits and shouting and hooping and hollering, amen. It ain't got to be all that. Just give me the word, amen. I don't care how it come out, what it do, amen. Just give me the word. Just give me the word. Just give me the word. That's how you want to listen for the word, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so listen, Brother Brent talked about a time, amen. And I believe that, amen, that we got some in here. You would say it's time for me to come to Jesus, amen. I don't run too long. It's time right now. Amen. It's time. Amen. And it's when purpose, amen, and destiny and God and all of your life just come together. Amen. And so tonight, listen, you're going to surrender all to Jesus. Amen. You're going to surrender all to Jesus. The word was for you. So just bow your head right now. Amen. You're just going to pray a prayer of surrender to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Say with me, Jesus, Yeshua, thank you for calling me for such a time as this. I admit I made some mistakes, but I know that you still love me. And I have come upon my time to surrender to you. I'm tired running. I'm waving the white flag tonight. I give you my heart, my soul, my strength, my mind. I give it all to you. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the grave. Save me, Lord. Right now. Let me be born again. So that I will never die. I surrender all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him some glory. Oh, to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Amen. Y'all know that? Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all want to help me with that? Hallelujah. Let's sing, I surrender all. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't go that high, Lord. I'm going to have to get grace to help me, Lord. That's what I should have done. I should have went low. Amen.
I surrender all.
Oh, I can handle that. Gee, I got that. All to thee.
All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet.
I surrender.
Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I thought that was me sounding good, but that was Brian. That wasn't me. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to pray so we can get out of here. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you recognize your time, that you don't let your time pass you by, amen, and that you would bloom and blossom in your appointed set time. And Lord, we also pray if it's a season of pain and struggle, God, that you'd be rooted, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Bless us, God, whatever time we in, to keep on serving you, keep on loving you, keep on believing you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed.